What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, and we're a pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 30th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Casey Mize, 7 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and just 10 strikeouts. Just, he says, oh my gosh, 13 whiffs, 38% CSW for a King Cole. Unbelievable performance from Casey Mize against the Yankees. Man, I mean, yes, they have been cold, that's fine, but what's going on here? Well, it's a 43% CSW with 71% strikes across 25% usage this year for Mize's slider. It's been a big development for him. He's really just been interrupted multiple times. Two injury stints. He had a little bit of a slow start, and then he had two starts that were not very impressive in his first two back from the IL. But it is a 2.63 ERA, a 0.97 whip, and a 27% strikeout rate across 12 starts now for Casey Mize. Obviously, this one helps. But yeah, he is turning into that Holly type, and you should be holding on to Casey Mize as much as possible. He gets at Texas and Philadelphia, and the Angels next. You got to do that. Nick Lodolo's next. 5 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 4 walks, and 4 Ks. Those walks are a product of the curveball not really being what he wanted it to be, and the too many fastballs that were wild upstairs. Change him sinker were there. Everything's okay. We can keep starting him. I think that's... Nick Lodolo is a guy that is great when he has no interruptions. That's what it was last year. It was the first year in ages that he hadn't had it. And it's why I was a little bit down on Lodolo this year, is because I didn't think that he would be without interruption again. But when he is starting, you want Lodolo, especially when he's over pitching over a long series of long stretch of time. I would be expecting better for him moving forward. Zebby Matthews has gone 9 starts this year. 8 of them have been at least 6 innings or more, and half of those, so it's 4 games of 6 innings and 4 of 7, and this was 7 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks against the Astros. I may be too low on Zebby. The thing is, he throws so many strikes that batters are aggressive against him. He can go those 6 or 7 innings often, but it can then mean that those are hits, and that's what happens a lot to him. Except it hasn't actually been as much as you think. It's just a 2.6 BABIP, and it was a 3.60 BABIP last year. He has a near 80% left on base rate, and I do think this is going to turn around for Zebby Matthews in a bad way. I think Kovacs isn't going to help him as much. Just be careful about it. Yes, if you are in a 15-team league, I think you got to go with it. You got to take the punches and all. In a 12-team, it's still kind of a coin flip for me, so I'm not really in on this, especially against the Yankees next. Eduardo Rodriguez against the Giants, 7 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 0 walks, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? It was against the Giants. So fine, we get the win, we're happy. It's a Vargas rule, it's a Toby, blah, 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 all these terms. All I'm trying to say is you just keep running with Eduardo Rodriguez as long as the matchups aren't so bad. It's against the Brewers next, and that should be fine. He got a bit lucky in this one for just 1 strikeout to go so easily through the game. Trevor Savage also didn't have many strikeouts, just 3 of them in 6.2 innings against the Mets, 1 run, 3 hits, and 0 walks. This was crazy because he threw 45 splitters and sliders and just 47% strikes. This was just his four-seamer being commanded better than I've ever seen it, and not low. I think that it would be really good if it's low, but he went up and in to lefties and then mostly inside to righties. I've never seen Savage do that before. I think it's a much harder skill than just throwing low, which would open the door, I think, a little bit more for a splitter and slider. He got away with this with the secondaries not working as much, and the Mets obliged. Like, they did not make the adjustment on that up and in four seamer well. They did not do well against the four seamer inside. It's weird because this is a completely different version of Savage than we've seen. The lack of control and consistency across his arsenal, not atypical. It's the four seamer being located properly. So we'll see if it happens next time. If he can keep doing this, great. I don't really think he will. Ryan Johnson had another good start. Remember last time he had all these strikeouts that we did not expect at all, and he went into Seattle, so that's a lovely matchup. He got the gold star here because he was productive. We really don't see Ryan Johnson be productive much at all. 5 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. It's not amazing. He's going to get the right-handed hating Red Sox next in Los Angeles. There is a chance. If you want to keep going with it, I get it. I don't really want to, but hey, if you got him for the two-step, you're killing it right now. My gosh. You get George Kirby. And George Kirby, you know the story with me. I'm like, oh gosh, the sweeper isn't getting whiffs because he's not throwing it right. He's not throwing the sinker inside. Well, he did it. He did it. He threw sinkers inside the inner third, two right-handers, and then the sweeper down and away. Like, down and away, back and to the left. And it was 42% zone rate with a 52% O-swing. That's what we want. We don't want that 55-60% zone rate on the sweeper. We want him to put in a situation out of the zone that would induce chases. We got it. 7 over 36 whiffs. Beautiful on that sweeper. And then the sinker was on the inner half to righties a lot. He allowed two hits on the day that were both in the middle. Now he allowed outs. Oh, got outs. Oh my gosh, it was great on that sinker inside of right-handers, finally. And now he even had a good curveball to lefties. It got four whiffs on its own. He also had three changeups, middle to right-handers that got whiffs. This is the best version of Kirby I've seen all year. Please replicate that with your four-seamer, with your sinker, with your sweeper, even the curve, even the change, and just get the four-seamer upstairs, get the sinker even more inside. Like, this is it. Shane Baz against the White Sox, 7 innings, 200 runs, four walks, 6 Ks. He went Blake Snell blueprint against lefties. I love that. That's cool. He didn't really do it against right-handers. It might have prevented the three walks you threw against them. And now he goes against the Cubs. He's only had two starts this year, Shane Baz, of a one whip or lower. And that always makes me iffy. So I'm not super encouraged. I don't feel like I have to do it for Shane Baz, but it's fine. 15-team Toby, think of it like that. Shota Imanaga against the Padres. For 6.1 innings of 200 runs, 9 hits, zero walks, and 4 Ks. He had a terrible put-away rate. And that is going to cause the weirdness of the strikeouts versus the hits. He did throw those splitters upstairs more often than he should. That is, he had too many that were floated up, and those were hits. So not only did he make the mistakes were punished, but not in a home run way, which is good. And we also have that poor put-away rate. He had opportunities to put guys away at 2 strikes, and he just didn't. So imagine if he did do that, then all of a sudden the hits don't happen, and you just flip those around. That's all it is. 92 mile per hour four-seamers, and he's still going Blake Snell blueprint for the most part with four-seamers up and splitters down, so we're cool. Sean Manaea at Toronto, 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. We'll take it. I don't really think he's doing anything exceptional. 90-91 on the four-seamer as opposed to like 92. And the closer we get to that below 90 mark, I'm just, oh gosh, a little scared for Manaea. Not to mention the cutters were interesting, but not great. The sweeper wasn't great. The whole thing is kind of meh. And now he gets Atlanta. I don't really want to do that. Sean Burke at the Orioles, 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 8 strikeouts. He has a 30% clip. That is a strikeout rate across his last 7 games with a 14% swing strike rate. That's really cool. The main wart with Shane Burke, it used to be that it was on the White Sox, but that's actually not so bad, is it? It's secondaries, that is the curveball and the slider, really the breakers, are just inconsistent. And in this one, we saw 1 for 20 whiffs on the curveball to lefties with just a 50% strike rate. And then his slider was super erratic to right-handers. The four-seamer is the pitch that's really guiding him. He had like a 95% strike rate, something crazy. 90% plus, there we go, much better, against the right-handers with the four-seamer, which was really cool. So you have the green light with the Guardians up next, obviously. We're going to keep rolling with this one. Griffin Canning, 4.1 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. It's just not enough for me to consider Griffin Canning, especially against the Dodgers next. Chris Paddock, 4 innings and 68 pitches, and just blah, you don't really want to do it with Chris Paddock. Ryan Weathers, I did a whole breakdown of Ryan Weathers for the YouTube channel. You got to watch that. I did it this morning for the live Twitch stream, and you'll see it on YouTube, I believe, later today. And by the way, thank you guys so much for your patience. I had a personal day yesterday, and it's good things. Don't worry. It's not like it was me really going through something, but I will have the list out today. I'll be live streaming at 3:00 today on twitch.tv/pitcherlist. So come hang out. I'll be doing it all day. Ryan Weathers, 1.2 innings of 200 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. There was an error in that second inning that elongated the inning, and this was not nearly as bad as you would think. Like, there is a big separation to me of pitchers who should be good who are not performing up to snuff, and then there are there are pitchers who are not really that good who are performing at their peak, right? And I feel as if it can be really tough for us to discern what's going on with that. This was a case of it not going the way it should based on how he's performing. And there was some sequencing stuff, there was some bad luck involved, etc. He's fine. I would keep going with Ryan Weathers. Reiner Suarez against the Nationals got a poor quality start and will take it. It's a win, 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. Beautiful against the number one offense against left-handed pitching. And get this, he allowed a solo shot on a 2-0 sinker to lead off the game. Third pitch of the game was a James Wood. And if you remove that, that's a brilliant one of 6 innings of 2 earned runs, right? And 4 hits. Just saying. Eric Lauer against the Athletics in Sacra Verde of Sacramento. 6 innings and 3 earned runs, but 9 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. That's a very, very poor quality start. You had a V with 9 base runners, and you had another V for every base runner after that. He's a 15-team option, I think. He does get the Padres. I understand if you want to do this on Sunday. If you're chasing a win, fine, but I just don't think he's that good. Robert Gasser against the Reds went 5.2 innings of 3 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. He led a 2-run shot to Ellie in the 5th inning that ruined what could have been a productive day. It was not a bad fastball either. It was up and in, and it's just unfortunate there. Now, his lack of change of field does make me a little questionable moving forward. The overall command is fine. He has 4-seamers generally up and sweepers generally down. There are some cutters in there, but it's just not really super exciting. Right, it's like a 92 mile per hour 4-seamer, keep in mind. So I wouldn't circle Robert Gasser as an add in a 12-teamer. If you're looking for somebody on Sunday, fine, but it's okay. Could be another start like this, which isn't very good. You have Parker Messick, you have Peter Lambert, you have Braxton Ashcraft, Aaron Nola. What do we do with all these guys? And Gage Jump and Sandy Alcantara? Well, I'll tell you after this break. Parker Messick went against the Rangers, 6.2 innings of 200 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. He's living the Swatch lifestyle, and this was such a good example of careful Icarus. It was 1 run in the 6th and 2 in the 7th, so it made a 1 run before the 6th inning through his first 5. And the thing is, he didn't quite get his changeup down enough. It should have been a little bit lower, and the Rangers eventually jumped on the fact that the changeup and the 4-seamer are going to be in the zone. And that's what really burned him in that 7th inning for the most part. But honestly, it was still down and the 4-seamer was really up for most of the game. He's totally fine. Not to mention, I know there's going to be some people who are scared about the 96 to 95 to 94 on his 4-seamer last few games. But he was at 94 for the season prior. And he could maybe get back to that 95-96. We'll see. So I still love him, of course. Peter Lambert is a Toby. And he almost had a wonderful outing, but he allowed a 2-run shot in the 6th inning for a proper careful Icarus. All almost had that 6 innings, 2-run game, but no, it's 5.2 innings of 4 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Yeah, he only had 4 base runners in his first 5 innings, just so we're clear here. He gets the Nationals next. He's a Toby. Tyler Malley against the Diamondbacks in Arizona, 4.1 innings of 4 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 3 strikeouts. He didn't pitch terribly. It was 93 miles per hour. He was generally in the right areas with things. He earned a fair number of whiffs on splitters and sliders, etc. But he needs to be much better for him to be successful with what he has. And I think we got to see it first before we add. Braxton Ashcraft is trying to get his coronation day. He's trying to get his ace. He's going to ace label. And all 6 innings of 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. He allowed 3 home runs. And 2 of them were on mistake pitches. One was a 4-seamer to Bryce Harper that was inside, and he turned on. It's what he wanted. And you can see Axcraft, screaming into his mitt after. You had a really bad breaking ball to Trey Turner. It was supposed to be down and away, and it was up and in, and he just turned and swatted that one. And then he had a slider that was middle down. Wasn't the worst thing ever by Brandon Marsh, who just took it to center. Like, how do you, okay, all right. He's still golden. 3 home runs on a random day. That's all you need. If you dominate the Nationals and like have an amazing day with it, I think you might get that ace is gonna ace. We'll see. Sandy Alcantara, Alcantara. I had a lot of conversations about how to pronounce his name, but it's Alcantara. And he went into Coors. 5.2 innings, 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 5 walks, 3 Ks. It's Coors. He now goes into Sacra Verde, because road trips happen like this a lot, where guys will go into Sacramento and then go into Denver in the same trip back-to-back. I needed a term for it. I said it on a previous podcast, and I'm going with the Green Mile because Kyle Bland suggested it, which is perfect. Green being the Athletics and the Mile being the Mile High City. And the Green Mile is a movie adapted from a Stephen King book about being on death row and all this stuff happens. Very interesting and great movie. You got to watch it. Tom Hanks is in it. But yeah, it's a perfect thing. So don't start guys who endure the Green Mile, right? And we like Sandy a little bit when he goes against better opponents, easier matchups, right? But we're not going to do this in Sacre Verte. Gage Jump against the Dodgers. 4.2 innings of 5 earned runs, 11 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. Look, it's the Dodgers, and he was in Sacramento. You know, we didn't really expect this to go well. We were hoping it. Like, maybe he's good enough for it. No. He still threw a lot of strikes with the slider and the four-seamer. Not so much with the others, but at least we still had those. Fine. He's going to host the Marlins next. I know it's still in Sacre Verte, but we're going to do that one. Sean Sullivan against the Marlins, speaking of which, no. It did not go well, and it was in course. Okay, but Miles Michaelis went 7 innings. You know, it's only the fourth time all year where he's tossed at least 6 frames. And he actually did go 6 innings of 2 earned run ball outside of the first inning, where he allowed 2 home runs to left for all 4 home runs. Four runs. So 7 innings of 6 earned runs, 9 hits, 0 walks, 3 Ks. But I mean, that's the best I can give you for Miles Michaelis, because it's Miles Michaelis. And then you have Aaron Nola against the Pirates. 4.1 innings of 7 earned runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. 23 whiffs for a gallows pole. Excuse me. This was interesting, because he went 3 innings of 10 whiffs. The fourth inning had 9 whiffs, so he had 19 whiffs through 4 innings. And he had a terrible curveball that was to Esmeralian Valdez for a 2-run shot. Fine. But that's, like, you're feeling okay. And then the fifth, oh my gosh, it was just so bad. He had 4 whiffs in that inning, and it was just so many bad pitches, including a 3-1 meatball to Triolo. It was 91-92 mile per hour fastballs overall. Just not the best command on them. Yeah. I just can't do this with Aaron Nola. It's also the old tale where he would do well for about 4 innings or so and then struggle in the fifth, struggle in the sixth. Like, this is what he is. So, sorry, I don't want to do this against Kansas City. I hope he has the earlier innings and can make it work in a really good matchup, but I just don't want to do it. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. Seriously, it means a ton to me. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low, and your strikeouts high.